This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
What do you say there, Ted?
I feel change in the air. What about you?
It's not change.
Change in someone.
That goes together. That really
Hello,
does.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey.
Hi, Paul.
Stand by for news.
Can the size of your breasts tell you something critical about your health?
That doesn't sound like Paul Harvey.
I am so sorry. Operator error.
Well, operator error?
Those of you playing the concentration game at home know that Scott Shannon, subbing for Paul Harvey,
right,
has been in position number 31.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is no longer available on my board.
Make a note of that.
Someone removed Scott Shannon?
Rob removed Scott Shannon, now in position 31.
Uh-huh. He didn't remove, he moved.
The size
right?
of your breast. No, he took it off, Mike.
Oh.
It's still in there.
It was just not available to me.
What, you mean the thank you, sir?
Yep, he took that whole thing out.
There it is.
There it is. Okay, my apologies. Now can we start over?
Yes. Yeah, now I know what you were going for, and I think it's worth pursuing again.
Let's reset. You don't like the breast tape?
I love the breast tape, but I love that tape, too.
You know what? There's just a limited space.
And yeah, we've only got 250 of these available slots. Only 250.
Damn!
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Why not
our
ask
show's
me?
Come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show. It is huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So people do show up.
Woo! Look out!
He's mentally retarded.
Why not ask me to choose a favorite child, Don?
You? I just watched, seriously, for the first time since I've worked with you. I know your cheeks get red when when anything's like emotional for you at all. I just watched them get red.
I do that for you.
It's highly entertaining.
I'm like a chameleon.
It is really entertaining. I mean, it's your tell.
I know.
It's your tell.
That's why you always beat me at cards.
Do you know what my tell is?
Actually, you're quite red. Actually, Dad, you're quite red.
I bet he knows. I bet he knows after all these years. What's my tell when I get emotional? Either upset or just concerned or anything. What's my tell?
No. I think it's this.
I always thought it was I go to the water.
No, you go to the water when you're satisfied with yourself.
I didn't even know that myself.
I always thought your emotional tell was a blood alcohol content of 0.12 or higher.
That too.
No, I'm very serious. Watching Mike play cards.
Uh-huh. He does that.
When Mike has...
I rub my beard when I'm playing cards.
When Mike has something good, he does this. Or something bad. You never know, he does the old rub. Uh-huh. But when you've got something and you just want to like keep it way on the down low.
Yeah.
You take your swig of whatever the beverage is, but it's the way that you drink that just says, well, I'm the man.
All business.
Yeah. Just like that, Mike. Just like that.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll put Shannon back, but it's tough because these are your hot rotators, and I like to keep it fresh.
It's just that top 50 row of buttons.
Does he have a favorite machine?
I like memorizing them.
He loves machine 5, but he goes to 2 a lot as well.
Okay.
He likes a good number 2.
Always has.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank
now,
you, Don.
Let's do this.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Can the size of your breasts tell you something critical about your health?
Did he move it again?
No, I didn't.
It's the same place it was 5 minutes ago.
So you were going to play Scott Shannon after that,
yes,
Paul Harvey.
Yes, and I hit button number 31,
right,
which again said, are you happy with the size of your breasts?
Oh, my God.
31. There it is.
Make it so. Thank you.
All right.
All fixed.
Here we go. Now, you know, there'll be some point in the show later when I scream at him.
Yeah.
Where is that tape?
Where's 31?
About the size of your breasts. Okay, come on. No need to do drawings on the grid. I get it.
The grid, for those of you at home, that
go
might be
on.
Confused. The grid is the map, as it were, right, that Don uses to tell him where the sound effects are.
Right.
Right.
And you see, what he does sometimes, and this is a skill that you young broadcasters should hone and refine, I've actually seen Don look at the map, which is probably, what 3 feet?
Yep.
Two and a half feet away from the sound effects, mm-hmm, and you'll hit the sound effect while you're looking at the map, which is almost like a pianist.
It's memorizing. I'm just memorizing, which is why when I play that, it used to be at 31, and it wasn't at 31.
Gotcha.
Everything's okay.
We're talking about...
And did we fix 22 as well?
I feel this burning desire to really explain to our audience...
Hi, Joe.
What we are, so, incidentally...
I forgot where I was going with this.
I'll be using that for the rest of the month. These machines we're talking about are called instant replays. They're almost like little keyboards that have...
that is so true, Dick.
Thank you, Dick.
22 farts in a fight?
Yeah, wanted it yesterday, and it came up dead-eye.
Yeah, that was system error. It's been replaced.
It smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
All right, good.
Love that one.
That one never moves.
That's got to stay there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then let's roll. Let's rock and roll.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
There is one short memo for Mr. Paul Harvey. A simple, sincere thank you, sir, for allowing this broadcaster the chance to realize a childhood dream.
I hit the wrong button.
Oh, no.
Jacksonville, Florida. Chuck enjoys marijuana. So he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong.
There is one short memo for Mr. Paul Harvey. A simple, sincere thank you, sir, for allowing this broadcaster the chance to realize a childhood dream.
Bong. That's a pipe used to smoke marijuana. I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much.
Yeah,
quote,
are.
My marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. I
there is one short memo for Mr. Paul Harvey. A simple, sincere thank you, sir, for allowing this broadcaster the chance to realize a childhood dream. The privilege of sitting in this chair behind this microphone and announcing to the world, I'm Scott Shannon.
Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Somebody's singed a kitten. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong.
I'm Scott Shannon. Stand by for news.
If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-BONG.
I loved it. Worth the wait.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Yeah, it's kind of loose. Like my stools.
I'll drink to that.
Thank you.
Hey, you know something?
What? No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Shut up.
Oh, hey there, Simon.
I like you, though. I like you both. You're funny.
That was funny.
I like weight.
That was funny.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Yeah.
Ski-wack. I hate you. I hate your big, fat, boss head ass.
That answer is true.
That is so true, Dick.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
What about the vagina?
What is he, a faggot?
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Hey,
these kids are fags. I can't believe it. Down, 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 damn it, you're fags.
Yeah. This big head.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Don and Mike. Thank you, Ben. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Well, what have we here?
Ah, this is my spirit. Play this song every once in a while. I got a line on you.
Well, who does this? I love this song.
Spirits.
Spirits, the name of the group.
Got a line on you.
Welcome.
Never hear that.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back.
Hi, Joe.
Don and Mike Show. It's Tuesday, and phone number same as it was yesterday, 877-365-3636.
Is everybody happy?
Not everybody.
I'm not happy.
Check it on Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Yeah.
The show is great.
Thanks, yeah. Tard.
So I love that song.
It's on a mic show. It's Tuesday.
You don't play that enough. Tard. You play it once every year.
He's a minor tard. Merrill.
Merrill's a minor tard.
He's an MT. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi there. Howdy.
I'm doing well on the road.
We didn't ask.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, I was calling to see if you'd heard about the football player who likes to shear testicles off a sheep with his teeth.
What's his name?
My name is George.
No. Did they fix this yesterday?
Yeah. No, Mike, I was here. They did it before the show. You can be heard. The guy is just slow. The first call of a show.
Well, he said there's a football player that shears testicles off of sheep with his teeth, and I'm curious. And I just asked, what's the football player's name?
I think he was going towards some joke.
I think so.
I really think that everything's just off skew that we didn't call Al Molinaro yet.
That's the problem. That will straighten everything out.
Put everything right.
I bet he answers today.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, his vacation.
Today's the day. Boy, back. Wouldn't that be great if he did answer? That really would make me happy.
Al Molinaro watch, day 5,000.
He does have, well, did we even get the answering machine yesterday?
No.
That's now I'm concerned more than ever.
We didn't get the answering machine / fax machine message. Oh.
To send a fax, start now. To leave a message, wait for the beep.
Are there maggots eating your eyeballs, Al?
Al, we're concerned. This is Don and Mike again. We're very, very concerned about your welfare.
Al, we faxed you our number. I will refax this number. Call us, please. It's please, the Don and Mike program.
Please, for the love of God, please.
Okay.
We loved you in the Weezer video.
I loved your
we said that already.
Encore frozen dinner commercials.
We said that already, too.
Murray the Cop.
We said that already, too.
We had a good time about 10 years ago with you.
We've always had a good time.
You're a good guy, and we'd love to hear if you're okay.
I hope you're face up.
We miss you.
I'd hate to think of you face down
on
linoleum.
I liked in Happy Days when you played your twin brother, the priest, Father Delvecchio.
Mm-hmm. That was the best.
Thank you, Rob. I'm sure that that'll mean a lot to him you've mentioned that word.
Right. Well, anyway.
Bye!
Bye-bye. Okay, message sent.
There you go. Now let's start the show. What do you say, huh?
Did you dial the wrong number yesterday, or did we just... Did we determine he had turned off his fax machine?
No, every once in a while it just rings and rings.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Howdy, what's happening?
Hey, I got to tell Buzzy I love him before I die, okay? I got to go. Bye. Hi there.
Consider it covered.
There you
Thank
go,
you.
Buzz. And
sounds like a cry for help there.
Oops, don't know what went on there. Hold on, you know what we'll start with before we get to phone calls?
Yes.
Something we mentioned yesterday. Leah Remini and this letter about Scientology. Hmm. We mentioned this late in the show. Are we going to do the Rudy applause for her?
No, because that would mean it was building up. That's simply no one applauding.
Leah Remini.
I like rape.
Oh, dear God. Take that toy away from you.
Leah!
I like rape.
Leah, God. Oh, so you started to read this yesterday.
So it is worse than when Anne Heche became Celestia from the planet Vagine. Uh-huh. She's got a crazy Scientology email. Now, we mentioned it yesterday.
Right.
It's got all kinds of coded Scientology stuff in it.
And I think that's the stuff that concerns me when I hear about Scientology. When I hear these letters and all these these little sayings they have, it makes me think it's a little weird.
There is a reason that I'm paying money to send my son to college for 5 full years. He gets the full ride.
Right.
I'll tell you why, because he has the resources of a university and a laptop computer.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I got home from work. He calls. We're just shooting the breeze, and he said out of the blue, hey, Pop, did you see that crazy Leah Remini Scientology letter? And I said, yeah, we did, but we didn't have a chance to get into it on the air. Besides, it was full of all kinds of codes. He said, I will send you a link that gives you the code to Scientology.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
And I said,
that's some of that hasn't even been in mainstream media.
What a great son you are.
That's really neat. I'm sure it's out there on the internet, but I've been curious when he's talking about all these different things. Mm-hmm. There it is. Look at that thing. That's a book.
84 pages.
Oh, my
84. God. It's an 84 page glossary.
The download is 84 pages
in a
very tiny font that we had to make as big as possible. To get all of the rules and regulations so that you can start to understand some of the stuff that Leah Remini is talking about in her crazy Scientology letter.
Now I have a question about this letter. Is this letter, when this letter was sent out, was this sent out for Scientologists or was it sent out for public consumption?
It's a Scientology introductory message.
So
an email message sent out
to somebody who might be interested in Scientology.
To a prospective Scientologist.
Okay. Actually, after reading it several times and decoding it today, here's what I took from it. It went out to a bunch of low-level, early-on Scientologists.
Okay.
And it chastises them for not trying harder and for not showing up to some sort of event at an atrium.
Wow.
And that they must come to the next event.
And just a little backstory here. You got to know that Lisa Remini, the star of King of Queens.
Uh-huh. Kings and Queens.
She, for the longest time, was a very good acquaintance of ours, and for a while, actually, for like a month and a half, she was actually...
She was a good acquaintance of ours.
She was a part of the show. She actually sat in the third chair.
Yeah, she was a true acquaintance of the show.
Anyway, we were really friends with her as long as...
Acquaintances.
We were friends with her as long as we were kissing her ass.
And then it all went very, very bad.
And it was fine, because she was a TV star, and we liked... TV stars.
And it really blew up when we made fun of her wedding that was on VH1.
Yeah.
That's when it went completely.
That's the last straw.
That's when it fell completely apart.
The straw before that was...
There were like 18 of them.
Yeah. Was when we had her on our show for a couple of years. We went out to some junket at CBS, and we met her face-to-face, and she was a nice enough girl, and
Went very well.
She had a nice little bit of sass to her, so we chatted with her, and we would get her on the phone and talk about being on TV, and we just ate it up like lap dogs. And then when we finally get out to California, and the company's going to do some synergy, CBS, they said, we're going to take this chick from King of Queens, mm-hmm. we're going to put her on your show, mm-hmm. she could be on every day, and we're going to put a microphone in at her house in Los Angeles, so that every day all she's got to do is just get up in her PJs, she just contributes to the show.
Right.
And that would really be where the problem began.
The problem, and I normally don't remember history, but this I do, the problem truly began when we broadcast for a week from Los Angeles mm-hmm. when she, for the first time, actually heard our show. Because we were not on in Los Angeles. We've never been on in Los Angeles.
Right.
Her only... indoctrination to our show would be when she had been on getting her ass kissed 5,000 different ways from Sunday.
And that's all.
And she enjoyed that, and then she'd be on and gone. And this time, when we went out to do a week of shows with her at Westwood One out in Los Angeles, she came into the studio, and she was there the whole morning.
Everything.
And she didn't like what she heard.
And besides all the stuff about the wrong pastries and the wrong coffee.
That was first morning. That was the first morning where things weren't quite right.
And the wrong food.
And here's the deal. She came in and she had that kind of tough New York bitch attitude, which was very funny on the air.
Still milking it.
The problem was when that thing, that kind of attitude still existed when the microphones were turned off.
Right.
Where she really wanted that treatment from us. And
we just wouldn't do it.
It didn't last any time at all.
We couldn't do it. So we got past the stuff with the food. And, of course, she didn't like us talking on the air about the fact that she was a diva about getting bagels from some goddamn specific place that Rob had to drive like 20 miles out of his way to get.
And right.
Cut fruit.
What?
Fresh cut fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wanted it chopped up.
So we're doing one of our regular bits, one of our bits where people call in and make idiots out of themselves. And as I recall, I don't remember what it was, but it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We were all laughing. All these engineers from California were out there laughing. Everybody's giving us
very irreverent.
Giving up like the thumbs up, like calling people and saying stuff to their families like we do on the show.
Right.
She sat there with her arms folded, and at one point we said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Well, this is just not funny."
Didn't she say something that this is just not funny? It's just really, really mean.
Yeah, it was something along those lines.
Yeah, and we were, I mean, it's on the air. And I remember your biggest concern at the time was she said this to us, and we literally, of all the things that have been said to us over the years, you have somebody who's a guest in the studio,
right.
And when she said that, there's lit, and she's being sincere. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can say to that.
Nothing.
We have part of our team going, that's just not funny. And then looking at us like, how in the name of God do you handle that?
And because
without a, you know, going into full attack mode.
And because she's Leah Remini, you know, we don't react like we would among our, right. You know, if it was one of us, you know us, you know, we're like a tribe of cannibals. We'll eat one of our own.
Sure.
It doesn't really matter. If it was one of us said, hey, this isn't funny, everybody else would stand up and say, hey, shut up.
Well, you know what? Hindsight being 2020, I just wish I had looked at her and go, and that King of Queens is a laugh riot.
We never did that to her face, did we?
We never did. And I swear to God that was my biggest, regret.
You remember we had a disc of stuff ready to go in case she ever said it again. Some of the bad exchanges on King of Queens, we were prepared.
Oh, yeah, we were.
But she never addressed it again.
You know, King of Queens has had an amazing run, and it's just, it's so sitcom-y. It's the sitcom-iest sitcom-y I've ever seen.
It's a good fit for my 20.
So we'd been friends with this gal, this actress.
Right.
She'd been a part of our show, and then
it cooled after we were out in Los Angeles.
Right. So then they decided this is not a good fit, because you remember after we left Los Angeles, we came back to D.C. We would do the show, and it would just be the sound of her in her big, hollow, empty living room with the big marble floors and the big pillars, where she would just be as disinterested as she possibly could be.
I think it lasted like a week after we got back, right? I mean, it didn't last much longer than that.
Hey, Leah, what are you doing this morning? I'm not doing anything.
I'm in my bedroom.
Jackie, go get me some coffee.
And I gotta, I'm tired. I'm tired. It's just like, and we'd had a week of her on and off the air. It was just, we were trying to make it work, and it was not working.
So it didn't end well, and we stopped doing a radio show with Leah Remini.
Yes.
And she went on to her career. We went on to ours. And then she had to get married on VH1.
Had to.
She had to, and we, of course, had to play the tape, because it was just so Leah. It was the Leah that we had come to know behind the scenes, mm-hmm. which for the first time was being shown to everybody.
Yeah. I think it's Warren Beatty in Truth or Dare with Madonna that says, you know, you live your life, you should have a camera on all the time.
Right.
That's what you'd like. Leah kind of likes to be on all the time, too.
I think so.
And it was the funniest goddamn thing we'd ever seen. And then we didn't pull back like we would have normally.
It was not so much Leah getting married to Angela, whoever. It was TV's Leah Remini, mm-hmm. and that was pretty much it. You really didn't need a groom on top of the wedding cake. You just needed her maybe holding an Emmy.
You know, you would think, Don, with weddings, for a woman, the bride, the day of the bride, I mean, it is the moment of her life where she is solely the attention. It's all the attention is on her, and it's an overwhelming amount of attention, mm-hmm. and I think most brides really get into this. For most brides, just that day in and of itself is enough.
It really wasn't for Leah.
She didn't like the fact that we also called her out on the fact that it didn't cost anything.
Because she got all this stuff
to
for free.
VH1 pay for her wedding in Las Vegas at the...
Where'd she get married?
What's the good place?
I don't remember.
Was it the Bellagio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somewhere nice.
Wasn't there something about lemons, too?
That was when she was on Cribs.
Cribs too.
MTV Cribs.
She was very, very at ease bringing cameras into her home.
Somewhere along the timeline, she got mad. Not break the relationship mad, but mad because we started talking a lot about Vivian's.
Now listen, this is a cafe. Uh-huh.
I think this was before the final breakup that we had this little.
This is a cafe that she bought somewhere in Southern California, in Hollywood, and her boyfriend, Andrew Pagan, who is a part-time actor. Check him out on IMDb.
He's a singer, too, isn't he?
He's got a list about as impressive as Mike and I do.
Angela. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's the short-order cook.
Yeah, Angela Pagan would be Mark Consuelos Light.
way light.
Oh. Right.
He dreams of being Mark Consuelos. Yeah.
But same
yes.
MO.
Yeah.
Totally the same MO.
He's like Mr. Lucci.
That's pretty right. brilliant, Mike. No. No. Mike got it right there.
Oh, did you see him this morning? Speaking of Susan Lucci? Where he presented an award to La Lucci last night.
Hey. Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Regis Philbin, I have always suspected, is banging Susan Lucci.
I don't think Regis Philbin can get the old machinery to move anymore.
But he sure likes La Lucci.
He does.
But anyway, we were talking about Leah. That's a whole other story.
But I remember asking Leah about it, and we said, isn't it odd that your husband is the cook? And she said, he makes an amazing spinach omelet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good cook.
And we riffed on that for a very long time.
Weeks and weeks.
How can you not goof on that?
Sure.
You know, but we would do it lovingly, though. It was done funny way. Went in Los Angeles to eat at Vivian.
Right. We had a bumper.
And then what happened was at the very end, she had kind of been on our show semi-exclusively. Obviously, she was really on the show when she was being paid by CBS to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And then around the time that we started making fun of her on VH1, her sister called whoever the producer was at the time and said, our producer, and said, if you guys don't shut up about Leah, Leah's going to go on Howard Stern tomorrow morning. You know, to which we said, okay, B, F, D.
Right.
And that was that.
And because Leah thought that was the dagger, that she was going to put dagger.
Mm-hmm. And right before that, we'd had her on talking about the wedding.
Yeah.
And that was, so it was
didn't like that.
The two-edged...
It all came together that day.
But, you know, it was the anatomy of...
The perfect storm.
It was the anatomy of the rise and fall of a relationship.
She thought that it would kill us that she went on Howard's show. She went on Howard's show, and Howard treated her like the nobody that she really was. And she got, like, maybe 3 seconds of airtime that day. And then, did we ever have her on again?
Maybe a phone call, but that was...
We've actually made a couple of phone calls extending the olive branch over the years. And I think the last two... There has been no contact.
Right.
I remember the last face-to-face was you had Billy Bush ask her about you guys.
Oh, that's right. We asked Double B.
What was her answer? I forgot.
Complete cool disinterest.
Ah, right.
The guy who would lucky stick Billy Bush. So Leah's career went off the cliff.
What do you think of Don and Mike? Do you think they're good guys?
So the career goes like this when King of Queens goes off the air.
Right.
So she all of a sudden becomes a Scientologist. Now, this doesn't mean a lot, except...
Well, she was a Scientologist while King of Queens was on
all
the air.
Along, yeah.
She's been it. She's been,
yeah, but she didn't like show up at stuff and go for photo ops like she does now.
Not so public.
No, the
right.
The whole thing where she's out front with Scientology
right.
is now because what she got going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the point that I was trying to make.
Right.
I just remembered another great moment that pissed her off.
What?
We had found out that she was a Scientologist.
Yes.
And we asked her about some evidence that Buzz had found in the news about photoshopping an event to make it look bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Remember there was proof?
That she hated that.
Ooh, and she did not like that.
Right.
That's right. They photoshopped something at the Staples Center in Los Angeles to make
it look like a sellout.
Like it was full and it really wasn't full.
And I always thought when we were talking to her about that she was poo-pooing it. She was trying to move off the subject, say, hey, it's no big deal. Oh, you know, people do things all the time. And I always thought during that interview with her that she really was completely aware of exactly
what
had
happened.
She did
not make it an issue, her religion, until she wasn't famous.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Now she's Miss Scientologist.
I think you'll see this in this letter, because she talks about how she floundered as a clear for a long time, and now she's a practicing VR.
And everyone's, yeah.
I can't wait to hear these
explanations. We've got the glossary. And isn't she an OT as well?
That's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant. Forgive me. I'm not good with the lingo yet.
And you might remember around the time that Tom Cruise's baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, Leah Remini was the only celebrity that had seen it. So mm-hmm. she was the lead story on Entertainment Tonight, Access right. Hollywood.
And didn't she get the blessing from Tom and Katie Holmes to... She could be out front and talk about the baby.
Yes.
Oh, and
almost like Chosen.
Didn't she also suck on the generous teat of J-Lo?
She courted J-Lo and Mark Anthony, I think, to be Scientologists. And I believe also she's been courting the Beckhams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine her sitting down with David Beckham? Mm-hmm. Her?
Licking her knife.
You took the words right out of my mouth, I swear to God. So anyway, here's the email that she sent out.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
It was a mass email that got leaked.
All right. So, yeah, for whatever reason, Scientology seems to be very protective.
Yes. Here it is.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Leah Remini writing you again. Some of you may know me from the TV show King of Queens. But what's more important is that I am now OT, Class V, and at one point I was a very stalled clear.
Wow.
Wow.
Whatever a lot of people means. Helped me to get to OT. Uh-huh. I decided I was going to turn around and help every clear make it to OT. Let's get right to the vocabulary.
I am so riveted by this. I wanted to hear about this religion for a long time.
An OT is a being who can be at cause knowingly and at will over thought, life, form, matter, energy, space, and time, subjective and objective. This is the goal of all advanced levels.
Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you about that? What? That's the sound of...
I know, crickets.
The sound you hear is the crickets that are enjoying the vacuum now, between my ears after listening to that.
Class V.
It stands for operating thetan.
Thetan. Yes, I've heard that word.
Now let's say...
The OT stands for what?
Operating thetan.
Operating thetan. These are the made-up L. Ron Hubbard words,
that
right?
She was a clear.
Right.
She was a stalled clear.
What's that?
A clear is
I thought Ellen DeGeneres was a clear.
I'll tell you what else is clear.
What?
Is the first drop. The first glistening drop.
Oh. Are you talking about what I think you're talking about?
Sure am.
That has nothing to do with Scientology.
So you would be talking about something that we had discussed with Leah in the pre-interview.
Yeah, actually, it might come under the heading of premature.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
That's clear.
Understand.
Okay.
Understood.
Crystal clear.
Clear. A person, a thetan, who can be at cause knowingly and at will over mental matter, energy, space, and time as regards the first dynamic. The state of clear is due above the release grades, which has to be done before you get to clear.
Jesus.
Now let's continue reading her letter.
God.
A couple of months ago, you received a letter from me about an event I was holding to help people move who were stalled on the bridge. Now, the bridge, Mike, is the journey between being a clear and being a thetan.
A thetan. A thetan.
A thetan.
The grand thetans.
Leah's letter continues. Obviously, you did not come and for some reason feel you are not indeed a stalled clear. Let me start with the definition of stalled. Not that you are, but who knows? Stall. To slow or halt the progress of. Look at the grade chart. It says clear. Sunshine rundown solo course part 1 OT. Preparations and so up the chart.
Jesus, what the hell is this?
If you're not on your next step, as per this chart,
I'm not.
And are not on a prerequisite for solo, you are stalled. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I'm hearing science fiction.
Yeah. Hold on, it gets better, though. If your CS has CS'd you, CS, case supervisor.
Is what? CS is what?
If your CS has CS'd you, exactly what it says,
all right.
Then it says case supervisor slash case supervision for the PTSSP, potential trouble source, suppressive person.
Oh, wait, they're all about that. I saw that in the Tom Cruise interview.
Do it.
SPs, the suppressive person.
Do it fast. I have experience being a stalled clear. Yeah. I was the kind of gal who went on course maybe a period a day, only on weekends, and then only if I had the time. I felt I deserved a special award for being there, and they possibly couldn't ask for more. She's not talking about her period, right?
No, I think that's another Scientology.
Could that be a moment of study? Could that be like studying the principles of Scientology?
It could be. It wasn't in the glossary, the word period.
Never once did I think I was a stalled clear, because I was always doing something.
Right.
Once my mother told me I was stalled, and I thought she was an idiot. I thought, wow, she should really handle that.
Remember her mom?
Is her mother a Scientologist also? Sounds like it.
Also, yeah. I also thought she just didn't know me. My mother is OT7.
Ah.
Operating Thetan level 7.
Way up there.
She did know me, and she was right. It's up to you to be honest with yourself and look at your own progress up the bridge. You are clear. You are special. Oh, my God. Hold on. Why am I telling you this? Who the hell am I writing to? Do you think I have nothing better to do with my time than write you letters? Do you think I make a commission off you? The answer is...
Hey, hold on with that one.
That's interesting. Defensive.
You think I make a commission off you? Because, I mean, what you hear, what I've heard over the years, Scientology, that they, a lot of, that they ask money.
The answer is I don't have better things to do than support my group and help when I can.
Not the first time.
Clears are my group. And no, I don't make a dime. Why the hell does she care? Well, when you do your levels, you too will care. September 11th kicked me in the ass. I finally realized all it takes is a few madmen to take us down. There I was, running on my treadmill, thinking life was okay, going on course every so often, and bam, life changed. I thought, oh my God, what if I'm in this condition again? Where would I go? What would I do? Would some secret Scientology police come down and save me? Is there a backup plan? I'm sure there was. But there wasn't. All it would take is another tragic event to happen, and we are done. No planet for us to be stalled or just doing okay on. There would be nothing left. The only plan is for you to move on up to OT, operating Thetan, as fast as you can. That is the secret. Really, I'm asking you to get it together. Years go by. You make money. You have a nice house, a nice car. Spend time with friends, cleaned out the garage. You traveled. You do the things that were keeping you from taking your next step. What are you going to move? I hate to say this, but you're lying to yourself. You need to move now, regardless of your situation. I say knock off any critical thought right now that you may have about me, the orgs, your FSM. That would be your folder summary. Uh-huh. Your auditor. Anyone else?
Your auditor.
Contact us so we can help you. All you need to do is reach once and we can help. LRH.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes, Lafayette Ron Hubbard, of course, was very clear on what we need to do. This is an outpoint. We can help you with that. An outpoint is any one datum that's offered as true, but in fact found to be illogical.
God. Oh, I still don't get it after all of this.
It's almost done. You're waiting because of money? Or are you waiting for your wife to do it first, to strike it rich? It will not happen without your decision to go up the levels. This, friend, sounds to me like a pyramid scheme. That was me speaking, not the letter.
Editor's note.
Then it says, that is the truth. You owe it to yourself, to your family, and mankind to move and move now. In closing, this is not going to happen often. I am only doing this because some of you did not show. I hope to see you on September 28th, 11 a.m., at the AOLA Atrium for a second chance. There will be brunch served, free, of course. Do this for yourself. It's not going to kill you. Much love. Leah Remini.
Wow.
Well, that clears everything up.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, Leah!
Yeah.
Leah!
I like rape.
Wow.
I invite you to backtrack to where it talks about the folder, okay, because the official Scientology glossary actually defines what your folder should be, not what's
folder.
In it.
Folder. Folder summary. Uh-huh. Sheets located inside the cover of a PC pre-clear folder, giving an adequate summary of actions taken on a pre-clear in consecutive order. A folder gives the content of the PC folder. The auditing history session, by session if you will, folder. A folder sheet of cardboard which holds all of the reports and other items related to one's auditing.
That's what a folder is, Mike. That's in
to
their
one's
glossary.
Auditing. Do you think auditing is another word for testing?
All well, right, cats.
What they did, they said in the glossary, auditor comes from the word someone who listens. But don't you think they do more talking than listening? Well,
here's what I get from that. I get pyramid scheme. Somehow.
I smelled money through it. Now
she mentions a lot of different things about money, sometimes in passing, sometimes directly.
The thing about the Church of Scientology, though, is they have been so remarkably successful in guarding their secrets that you rarely get something
like
this.
Do you think they're all in the spaceship right now, mad at
Leah? Jesus, I'd love to know more about it.
Do you think they're throwing beer cans at her the way that they threw beer cans at Flounder in an Animal House?
I'm thinking when I read that letter, when I hear that letter, when you're reading that, I say to myself, you know, what is the deal? Why can't they be open about this stuff? Why can't they let us know? Because something's going on.
It's important enough that she says to progress up the ladder is important for mankind. But she talks about not to be distracted by the fact that you have enough money to buy a house, you're not a millionaire yet, you have a nice car, the lunch is going to be free at the meeting. There's a lot of financial stuff woven into it that makes me think it's very profit-driven.
Now, what are the worst rumors you've heard about Scientology? It's that...
They kill babies?
No. When you get in there, they... I've heard that the rumor is they take your money.
Right.
I mean, all of it. Like you turn your money over to...
Here's another part.
You turn your life over to Scientology.
Here's another part of this thing. You are clear. I don't care what it is. You are not service right or fast enough. People don't get you. Have other things going on that you don't get. You are helping others. You're upset. You haven't been asked. Your life is actually going well. Your life is not going well. There's no money. There's no time. If you're a millionaire, you will do it no problem. You're waiting for your 2D to make it.
Your 2D?
Hold on, what's 2D?
My
2D. She was on the Facts of Life.
2D, see dynamics. That is second dynamic. The urge, thrust, and purpose of life survive in its 8 manifestations. The first dynamic, the second dynamic, third dynamic, fourth dynamic, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth dynamic.
Oh, boy.
What I was able to gather from the glossary is that this is a religion totally based on rank. Now, you start as a clear. Once you're accepted to be in, you start as a clear. Then you cross this so-called bridge.
But aren't they mad? Aren't the other famous Scientologists mad that a nobody like Leah is jumping up and throwing out all of the secrets for everybody?
She didn't do it. This was obviously meant to scare up business
This was leaked.
It got leaked.
But this is obviously also sent out to people who have already joined the Church of Scientology.
But with failing interest they didn't show.
But if you're doing an Amway business and you say, here's the number one job, keep it quiet. Do you hire Leah to do that? Do you send a chick who's been on TV who writes in her letters, hello, this is Leah Remini?
Look at Leah. I mean, what are the rumors we hear? Tom Cruise is apparently quite the player in this religion.
Right.
He's at the top of the heap in this. Who does Leah, you know, hang out with? Tom Cruise.
Sure. Right.
And, you know, is Leah in that A-list range celebrity-wise? No, she's not. So I think that she is a player in this Church of Scientology.
I do, too. And this only went to clears, though.
I know what it is. I know what it is. She had, like, some meeting with Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise said something like, how much money did you make from King of Queens? Uh-huh. And she says, like, I don't know, $5 million. And he said, if you give me $3 million of that for Scientology, I guarantee you'll be a bigger star than you ever were before.
That's the promise.
That's kind of what I've heard about.
Wealth and fame.
But here's the deal. I mean, there's so much in there that doesn't make any sense. So it's obviously a language of its own, but you never hear. You hear disgruntled people that have left it, but even those people aren't forthcoming with the details about Scientology.
You're embarrassed.
What? I'd like to know why it is still such a mystery to all of us.
Crap.
You would think with all these people that they involve that you'd be able to get more information. But I'm fascinated by it. I've been on the internet.
I've
researched Scientology and you can't get anything on the internet.
It's a con. It's like shooting the water into the clown's mouth. You understand? You've got to have the gun, the water gun that has the most power. That's all it is.
I think that it is a surprise
carnival game
that it got leaked because this letter was addressed to what she called stalled clears. So that means they've already been accepted and they've started their so-called journey. So they're probably fairly trustworthy.
What they do is they wade one of the milk jugs.
Sure.
So no matter how hard you throw the softball,
right,
you will only knock down two of the old and fashioned metal jugs. One will never stay up. And here's another thing that the Scientologists do. You know the game that they run? Shoot the basketball and win the doll?
Right.
With the very small basket?
You're right. The hoop, just small enough that there's no way the ball can ever get through. Damn Scientologists!
I have a voracious appetite for more information on this subject. I want to know what this... I really... really would love to get a comprehensive. There's somebody's got to be.
I'll send you this link.
Really?
This 88-page glossary.
I love their tilt-a-whirl. I love their corn dogs. Mike, here you go. You can have the link. Here's the thing that Bart sent me. There's all 88 pages of the translation of all of that crap.
You know what another good Scientologist game is?
What?
Drop 5 metal discs and cover up the big red circle. And if you can't see any red, you get to be a thetan.
What?
You ever play that on the carnival, the Midway?
Oh, okay. I got what you're doing.
Where you drop the metal disc?
I got what you're doing. Okay.
Fine.
I think that the one, I know that John Travolta was always very successful at throwing the softball onto the top of the milk jug. Uh-huh. That's why he rose so fast.
Exactly.
In the Church of Scientology. And, you know, when Tom Cruise started, all he had to do was take an ordinary dart for a dartboard and break a few balloons.
You ever been to the Kirstie Alley dunk tank? Every time she dunks, you have to refill it.
And, of course, beginning Scientologists have to go to the booth outside and buy tickets.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Trimper.
L. Rod Trimper.
Hello.
Hello there. Donna Mike Show. What's happening?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, of course we can.
Okay, good. I want a forklift real quick. I called just because I was involved in Scientology for about 10 years.
Congratulations. How'd that work out for you?
Good and bad.
Are you a clear?
No.
Had you gotten to any level in the Church of Scientology?
Say again?
He's on a forklift.
He's on a forklift, Mike.
So it's helped your career.
He's gone. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, radio guys.
Howdy.
Hey, just want to let you know, I went to one of these seminars. What they're saying, that email letter, that's right. What they do is, but they hit you up for like $3,000, and they keep bugging. I had people from
Hey, hold on. Hold on a second. They hit you up. I mean, so you go to one of these seminars. Initial meetings, and they ask for money even at the beginning?
Yeah, and then that's when I left. But they had like all my information. They made me fill out like this 20-page thing of questionnaires. And they kept emailing me saying, we can help you. And I kept ignoring it. They had people actually come to my house and knock on my door.
Wow. You know, it sounds to me, I know it's not the same thing. Is it anything like those old deals that where it used to be, you would sign up to go like on a tour of a condo, and you got a weekend for free, but you had to sit through the meeting.
You had to go through you got a free prize, like tickets to a show, and your penance for that was you had to hear the sales pitch.
Yeah, you had to go through a sales.
And they're very effective sales pitches, too.
They're doing here, or is it something different?
You know, I think you were dead on. I remember when I lived down in Annapolis, and we met a guy. I was with another disc jockey. I forgot the guy's name. And the guy said to us, you know, I got a great business opportunity that you might want to think about. And he sold it completely as we were going to go meet with a couple of people for an investment opportunity. And we walked in, and the address was at this hotel. And we walked in, it was a ballroom. And then all these chairs were in there, and it was Amway. It was Amway, and we stayed 5 minutes. And left. That sounds like what this is.
Yeah. Except what's the shampoo they're selling, though?
But the thing that I get the impression Scientology goes beyond just the money aspect. A pyramid scheme is pure, you know, you get people, you sell the products to them, then you're a distributor, and in money, and it goes all the way up. With Scientology, these people do believe that the further up that they go, the more powerful they can become.
Right.
It's
a little
interesting.
Donna Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, Donna Mike. Hannah Montana checking in.
Hey, what's happening, Hannah?
Hi, Miley.
Hey, I just want to tell the Teletubbies, the VeggieTales, Dora, they're all my bitch, all right?
All right.
You're my bitch.
Thank you, Hannah.
You got it. See you later. See you
Buzz?
Later.
Yes,
Buzz?
Sir. Yeah, of course, yes. How can
you
I
got
help?
Bad breath, Buzz.
Thank you, sir.
We've not played that one for a long time.
Hannah Montana.
And, you know, we got to mention again that if it's not an all-profit scheme, they're all waiting to get on a spaceship.
You know, and
that's really the bottom line of the religion, right? Is that a spaceship is coming back with Lafayette Ron Hubbard?
I'm stuck on Hannah Montana for a second.
Uh-huh. I'll bet you are.
Don't know a lot about her, okay? Because I don't have a teenage daughter. Not my bag. Not into Radio Disney. But I've seen enough of her. Obviously, I know who she is. Saw her on some morning show where they were doing like a behind the scenes with her and her retarded dad, Billy Ray.
Right.
And you know, God bless her. She seems like a nice, wholesome girl.
I'm sure.
Trying to be brought up the right way. She's one of those butterface.
You mean everything butterface?
Yeah. I mean, I know she's a teenager.
I've never
girl.
Even seen her.
She kind of looks like, I saw them together. She really looks like her dad.
More Billy Ray than whatever hottie than Billy Mama. Ray, you know, fathered the kid.
Yeah. I think his name Fern.
I never really bothered looking at her. I always thought that she was like a Hillary Duff, one of those girls. Like, yeah, she might grow up to be hot. Well, I saw this thing where it was the two of them with the face right next to each other.
Right.
As he was
she had a large face?
Kind of an oblong face.
So she's big face. Yeah, she's one of the big face people.
Daddy's just that. I don't get what's going on and look to his face. Right. You know, Billy Ray Cyrus always looks like he's just smelled a fart and he doesn't want anyone to know that he farted.
Yeah, he's confused.
It's
a confused look.
That's right.
Same look.
That's the look that Miley Cyrus has.
You know, it's just kind of a, you know, wonderment. Wonderment at all the success.
I don't want to pile on to who's probably a very nice girl. I mean, who knows? All I know is, Jesus, that's it?
It's a hell of a phenomenon.
I mean, that's what you're paying $2,000 for?
That's it.
For that?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, Tiffany was hotter than that, for God's sake.
Yeah, and back in the day, they actually had, you know, stars. You had rock stars. You don't have rock stars
right, like
anymore.
Tiffany.
They're manufactured.
Like, Tiffany was a pop star.
Like Tiffany Darwish.
Did we run over a cardboard cutout of Tiffany?
We drove a bus through a giant
you did.
Billboard. Well, you were on the bus.
I was. Oh, that's right. I was on it. I remember the debate was whether I was going to stand outside of the bus and watch you run her over, or I was going to stand down and and stay on the bus.
Drove a bus through a gigantic, I was just trying to figure out, were you just having water, or was that a tell?
Oh, no. No, that was drinking water.
See, because I've never tried to look at your tell during the show.
No.
See, you have definite tells when you play cards.
Right.
And I just thought, you just said something.
No, that was absolute, you know, thirst-quenching, you know, drinking my water. No, there was, why would I'd have to be under duress. And I am it many times each day, I actually.
You momentarily looked pleased with yourself. And I
no,
guess,
no, I wasn't pleased with
and
myself.
And I guess you were just enjoying the taste of the water. I got to stop thinking I'm looking for a tell.
It's not a tell.
Like your Teddy KGB.
Now I don't know.
See, now
I'm rubbing my beard.
You don't do it like that, Mike. It's more like this. Right around the mouth. That's it. Just like that. Good hand, bad hand, don't know. Teddy KGB.
Pay that man his money.
He beat me straight up.
Scientology is pyramid scheme.
You feel good about yourself, Mike, huh? All night. But still, I've been shoving it in.
You all right, Don? I can go busting you up all night long.
Pay that man his money.
My tell is Oreo cookie.
He beat me straight up all night. Check, 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 check.
Pay that man his money.
Pay that man his money.
There it is.
John Malkovich.
Rounders. I swear to God, if that movie doesn't kick seven ways of ass.
There are a few movies that come on like on regular cable where you look at them and you get excited. That's one of them. If you've never seen it, you should do that. Yep. It is a great movie.
And maybe you want to say hello to my friend, Grandma. I thought I smelled something.
Grandma.
Grandma, that's it.
Grandma.
Grandma.
With his Asian hookers.
Well, he opens the door and he's got...
He's got the silk robe.
And he's eating
like a kimono.
And he's eating yogurt or something.
Yeah, he's just in this hubble of a place.
Just you look at the guy, you just go, he just smells like fish.
Incredible. Movie about playing poker.
Really good. Really good. All about Scientology. The movie Rounders.
Straight up.
That man, baby. Get into the spaceship.
Pierre Remini Hermani. Get off clear level. Go to higher alien level before spaceship comes and takes your $3,000.
Yep. All night. Check.
Check. Check. Check. Check.
At Vivian's. Check, please. Check, please. Check, please.
Check that man's money, Angelo Pagan.
Well, I guess we'll talk more about Scientology.
Okay. I'm fascinated by it because I still don't know a damn thing about it. We've been talking about it for the better part of an hour, and I have no idea what it is.
Anywho, we'll be right. Hey, anywho. My God, somebody stop me when I do that. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.